Laddies!
Thought we already are.
Just cool your tongue, Airman, because I intend to take issue with your performance. First of all, don't make fun of the weather here. And don't say that the weather is the same all the time here, because it's not. In fact, it's 2 degrees cooler today than yesterday.
2 degrees cooler? Me without my muff.
I'm trying to run a meeting here. You know, I hate the fact that you people never salute me. I am a lieutenant, and I would like salutes occasionally. That's what being a higher rank is all about. Second, frankly, I found your I love a police action remark way out of line. How can you have the gall to compare the conflict here in Vietnam with a glass of cappuccino coffee?
This comes off. I was just trying to be funny.
Funny is good.
Yeah.
Funny is good. But then do it by using comedy and humor, not police action and coffee remarks.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
Everybody's saying I should run for president. Let me ask you a question. Meatloaf, should I run for president?
Absolutely.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Absolutely. I think Donald Trump checked with Meatloaf before endorsing Romney.
By the way, you should see, I wish you could see the dumb little face that I make when you play that jingle. I sit here, I might nod my head back and forth, I kind of snap my fingers a little bit. I look like the Johnny Rotten in Sid and Nancy when they were on the bus and like the little guy is singing his punk song to him and it's total garbage.
Yeah, you know what?
Making that stupid face.
We've never talked about the jingles. And I've always wondered what you thought of my stupid radio jingles at the top of the show.
it's terrific. It brings me right back to 1953.
Meatloaf. I was thinking about endorsing Mitt Romney. Do you think I should endorse Mitt Romney? And of course, Meatloaf's
absolutely.
So funny. I love that clip. I don't know if you remember that. Seeing it.
Yeah.
But Meatloaf has just this lapdog look on his face, just this ear-to-ear grin, and he just can't wait to stick his tongue deeply into a deep, dark place on Donald Trump's body. I'm forgetting this isn't the after party.
No.
Is this the after party, Meatloaf?
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
If we charge a subscription to talk about Meatloaf sticking his tongue deep in dark places of Donald Trump, I would blame no one if they dumped us like the rotten $2 prostitutes we are.
Now, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. Bob Seska here. That's Chez Pazienza over there. Mm-hmm. It's February 2nd. It's a Thursday. We record the show on Thursdays. I don't think we ever talk about that either, really. Mention that we do this
once in a while.
We record both shows right in a row on Thursday afternoons. And then
we're like the idiot's Lord of the Rings. We do everything back to back.
That's right. And the show that comes on after this one is the after party. That's where we talk about things like deep, dark places. Again, and wait to hear what we're going to be talking about on the after party today.
I can only imagine.
Because I mentioned something in passing. I can't even mention it because we're literally on terrestrial radio with this podcast, and so I can't, the stuff that we talk about on the after party, I can't really even preview it because it's too raunchy for broadcast radio. We'd get kicked right off the air. But suffice to say, there was something I mentioned at the end of last week's after party, just in passing, as we were wrapping up with a theme song was playing and everything, and I just go blah 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 blah, something to do with let's say a feminine reaction to
that's right.
To
the thing that I spent the past week not looking for anymore because now I know it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but specifically something else that happens sometimes with some women during.
Oh yeah, that's right. The email you got, that was a winner.
Yeah, And so I had to go back and look it up. But I did. I wanted to clarify what I said about that body function. But that'll be on the after party. So you're going to have to, if you're not subscribed to the after party, just go to bobsesca.com. There's a link at the top of the page that says the Bob and Chez Show after party. Click it. And then you go and you pay, I think it's $6 a month. What was $6 a month the equivalent to?
I think you could save a child if you give to UNICEF or something like that.
That's
the commercial,
right?
I would see with the kids with the flies on them.
Who needs those kids? we oh, need you're, subscribers.
You're still going to lose your Prague cred here.
Oh, people know I'm kidding.
I'm not. I could care less. As long as they're not dying in my front yard, I'll lose my Prague cred. I had no cred to lose anyway.
Hey, Meatloaf, are children dying on Chez's front yard?
Absolutely.
So we got a lot to talk about today. We played that Donald Trump clip at the beginning there because Donald Trump did endorse Mitt Romney today. And I don't know if that's such a big deal. It's really not. Donald Trump is such a non-entity. But, you know, I think the news that came out of it was Mitt Romney's reaction. It says here, this is from Talking Points memo. Mitt Romney gladly accepted Donald Trump's endorsement at a special event Thursday at Trump's hotel in Las Vegas. So this is basically Mitt Romney doing his Meatloaf impression.
Absolutely.
Right? Mitt Romney says, quote, "There are some things that you just can't imagine happening in your life. This is one of them. Being in Donald Trump's magnificent hotel and having..." I can't tell you what I thought that when I first hit hotel, I almost thought it said hole. Being
well,
in Donald Trump's magnificent
that's pretty
hole.
Fitting, actually. That works. That works, too.
And having his endorsement is a delight. I'm so honored and pleased to have his endorsement.
Spoken like a true Mormon. It's a delight.
It's
I
a
gotta
delight.
Tell you.
Delightful. Delightful. And, of course, I'm looking for the endorsement of the people of Nevada. He continues, Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people. He's done it here.
Holy crap.
He's done it here in Nevada. He's done it across the country. The ass-kissing continues. He understands that our economy is facing threats from abroad. He's one of the few people who stood up and said, you know what? China has been cheating. They've taken jobs from Americans. They haven't played fair.
He's a piece of crap reality TV star. That's all he is.
That's right.
I mean, you're right. It angers me because it's not even worth talking about. Why are we giving any amount of time whatsoever? I mean, except I get the idea that it certainly shows sort of the moral intellectual bankruptcy of the Republican Party these days.
Yeah.
But and our culture in general, actually, that we are this sort of reality TV based celeb obsessed culture now. But I mean, beyond that, it's not even worth mentioning Trump's name. For any reason at all.
Yeah.
He's a jagoff, seriously. He serves no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like getting a Kardashian endorsement.
Exactly right.
Oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan endorsed me today. Thank God.
Exactly. He serves only to excite the idiot pundits like, you know, the Mark Halperins and the Chuck Todds of the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, and I think we talk about it mainly because it highlights what the Republican Party has become, where this guy, Donald Trump, is actually important in the Republican Party.
Right.
He was the first big front runner. I mean, this was the clip. This was the clip when Donald Trump was going to be the nominee.
Absolutely.
Right? It was Donald Trump on his show, you know, and his whole tease that he was doing with the Republicans that he was going to run was all a matter of promoting his show. It had nothing to do with any
of
sort
course.
Of seriousness about running.
Lawrence O'Donnell was completely correct.
Yeah.
He nailed it perfectly, perfectly.
As soon as...
And what he brought up, by the way, I'll throw this out there because I remember I did actually write about it quite a bit. His sort of... the way he assailed NBC was spot on. I mean, NBC's entertainment division knew full well what was going on in Donald Trump's future, and they did nothing. They didn't... You know, Burbank basically didn't tell New York... didn't tell 30 Rock, didn't tell its news division what was actually on Donald Trump's schedule.
Yeah.
You know, that they withheld news, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And once the finale of Celebrity Apprentice ended, that's when he bailed out. He just decided not to run. I mean, He's played the entire Republican Party as just a reality show audience.
Of course.
It's absurd.
And they go for it. They buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're desperate. The Republicans are just so desperate, and especially the far right of the party, the Tea Party wing of the party. They're just so desperate for some sort of savior, someone to speak their language. And, you know, at this point, they're settling for Newt Gingrich. They know that this guy is twisted and weird, and he's got a million skeletons in his closet. They just don't care because they don't want Mitt Romney. But they really, really tried to find someone, and it started with, shockingly enough, Donald Trump. And so it was Donald Trump, and then it was Newt Gingrich part one, and then Newt Gingrich blew up, and then it was Michelle Bachmann, and so she was the favorite candidate. And then Michelle Bachmann blew up, and then it was who came
Herman
after
Cain.
Herman Cain? That's right.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain blew up, and it blew up right as he was pitching.
Nine, 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 nine.
I love bringing up Herman Cain just so I can play that clip. And so he fell apart trying to defend his 999 thing, and just a gaffe machine,
and then a slew of entertaining sex scandals.
That's right. And then after,
I
thing.
I love that you forgot about. That's how crazy it is.
That's
right
exactly.
Now. You can forget something that ridiculous and massive.
Yeah.
Something that took up that much of our time.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. There's so much crap that it pushes other crap out. And then you forget about it.
Your brain only has a limited capacity for the kind of garbage that's being thrown in there on a daily basis Republican race to the bottom.
That was almost the way it was during the Bush years. And that's what it's been like with the Republicans. There's, you know, these guys come up. I couldn't even begin to start listing for you all of the terrible things that would otherwise disqualify Newt Gingrich from the Republican nomination. From even being taken seriously, he's a front runner now. He's like a second in the delegate count, and he's going to take it to the convention. But there's been this laundry list of things that would have otherwise destroyed a candidate.
You know, something just came to mind for me, and I'm trying to figure out the correct way to sort of get this across. The first thing I thought of when Trump snubbed Newt Gingrich. Was wow, you know what, Gingrich is such a petty, malicious, vindictive SOB. He's going to now bounce back and attack Trump because you know he'll unleash something on Trump.
Yeah.
Because you know this is a guy whose ass he kissed pretty religiously for quite a while in an effort to sort of endear himself to Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think the other way of looking at it may be though that perhaps Trump picked Romney knowing that Gingrich will come after him and will then start one of those little silly battles, the public feuds that Trump loves to get into, which keep his name in the spotlight.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yeah, strategic. But basically,
yeah,
if it really was
strategic, and the idea was, look, if I snub Romney, who gives a crap? If I back Gingrich, who cares? If I snub, I get more PR time. I get more face time on the news if I snub Gingrich and he comes after me. And then it turns into a petty squabble between two idiots, but it puts, it literally makes, the tent rise in the front of Mark Halperin's pants and therefore will keep him in the public eye. Again, another petty, dumbass Trump feud.
Mark Halperin pants tent. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I absolutely believe that is it's entirely likely that was one of Trump's reasons for doing that. I think
the only thing he's
good
at is self promotion. He's good at nothing else.
Exactly.
He's good at perpetuating his brand, and nothing perpetuates his brand better than when he gets into these ridiculous little pop culture feuds with people. And Romney wasn't going to come after him. Romney's mild mannered. Romney really didn't care all that much. He wasn't going to lose any sleep over not getting a Trump endorsement. But Gingrich, when you piss off Gingrich, when you when you turn your back on him and you slight him, he gets angry.
Yeah, well, I think that's what's so fun about Newt Gingrich. He's like that kid at recess who who would just get so it's like a bully. And if you just if you find the right way to tweak them, they just go nuts.
Exactly.
They just lose their shpadoinkle. And so you want to keep doing it. And you do it and you do it and you do it just because you want to see that reaction. And and I think it's become predictable. So it's very likely that Trump is just trying to antagonize Newt Gingrich. I also think obviously the you know Trump and Mitt Romney have a lot in common. Although Mitt Romney doesn't have, what is it, 8 bankruptcies. Yeah, Donald Trump knows how the American economy works, right?
Yeah,
he knows all the ins. Yeah,
he's a small-time businessman. If you go by a quote that Trump actually said about Romney years ago, you know he's small-time. He's small potatoes. Small-time businessman.
I guess in you stack them side by side, and that's probably the case.
Well, that particular quote was just another excuse for Trump to blab about how much money he has. Mm-hmm. You know, he many times more money than Romney is what he said, which is, you know, probably a bunch of crap. I love when Lawrence O'Donnell calls him out for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, again, they just don't hesitate to really highlight the fact that it's just a clown car, that it's just silliness. They're yeah, just I mean, so unserious and so cartoonish that it continues to be remarkable that between the cartoonishness and the ugliness that they're still at all taken seriously by anybody.
You know, you and I have done a lot of, I think, very, very appropriate Ron Paul bashing. And we also make fun of the fact that if you look hard enough, of course, you can find some things about Ron Paul that you really like. I think it comes at a hell of a price. If you subscribe only to those things, but one of my favorite things that Paul has done is to basically call out Trump and just give him absolutely no credence whatsoever,
yeah.
And just you know basically call him the idiot that he is. So that I do appreciate.
Well, we got to take a quick break. We got a pile of stuff to talk about this week. We're going to talk about the California single payer thing. We want to talk about a little bit about the Super Bowl and a particular anti-abortion ad that was supposed to run. We want to talk about this Komen thing with Planned Parenthood and got a hilarious clip of the vice president. I can't wait to play this because it's been cracking me up for the last. So I couldn't wait to start the show because I wanted to play this clip of the vice president. We'll be back after a quick break after this. I try and find some love for my pot.
That just ain't enough to go around. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hey, we're back.
Underground.
New Jane's Addiction.
New Jane's Addiction record's really good. They put Dave Sitzak on bass from TV on the Radio, and he's a production wizard. So,
this has got to be one of their heaviest songs.
You know, when they release, I love that we always whenever we come back from the rejoins, we always do some kind of talk about the music that's up. But no, you know, when they did Strays back in God, I want to say 2003 when they released that, I remember thinking it was a good rock record. It wasn't a good Jane's Addiction record.
Yeah.
And it was pretty heavy, but this is actually much more. It's a good rock record, but it also sounds enough like their old stuff while sort of maturing that I'm a very big fan of it. It's got sort of a lot of the mystery that that used to make them such an incredibly kick-ass band years ago.
So have you heard the rest of the? I haven't heard the. I've only heard this song. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think Perry Farrell has one of the coolest GD voices. See, I got to say GD now on the show. One of the coolest voices in music. He's got one of those. It's almost like when you hear him sing, it's almost like you're hearing someone who's multi-tracked, who's got like several tracks of vocals going.
Well,
at
once. He used to do that live. He used to run his vocals through essentially guitar effects,
and he'd
sit there and he'd twist knobs and he'd go. I mean, I saw them. God, I saw them live forever ago. As I date myself. That was one of the big things that they did live is he basically put his vocals through a live processor right there.
That's so cool. So cool.
Yep,
I mean, he's just one of those iconic voices, I think. I don't know if you know this, but California voted on single payer this week.
I know this only because you put it up.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm in California. I should have been paying attention.
I didn't know it until I think Caroli. I think it's Caroli. I think that's how I always say Caroli. Tweeted about it.
Right.
She's the writer for Crooks and Liars.
Mm-hmm.
Good friend. And she tweeted about it on the day that it was going to happen. And I'm wondering, where the hell were we? where was the progressive movement? Where were all the people who flood my comment section and say, damn it, Barack Obama sold us out on single payer, didn't even push for it? Well, here was an opportunity to pass single payer. You know what it lost? It went down by two votes. Missed by two votes.
That does suck, believe me.
Unbelievable. And
being
and
out here now.
Total, like, the entire progressive movement, crickets. Crickets chirping. I don't have that sound, but you know the idea. Just no one knew what the hell was going to happen. And this is why we miss out on this stuff. We're too busy waving our fists and screeching about how so-and-so betrayed us and drone strikes and the drug war that we're missing the important crap that's going on. And this could have been, I mean, the largest state in the union could have had universal single-payer health care.
I would have been very happy about that, considering that I'm there.
There you go. Yeah, and that would have been on top of all of the reforms from the health care reform bill. And you know what it was called? It was called Medicare for All.
It's a good name.
Medicare for All, and no one knew about it. I mean, they did this, I think, once before. Schwarzenegger vetoed it. It was the bill's author is Democratic Senator Mark Leno.
No relation to Jay.
That was my my crappy Leno impression.
Crappy Leno was It's somewhere between Leno and Cartman.
That's right. It would have been $250 billion annually to cover it. You know, these things are always expensive to do, but you've got such a huge tax base in California. You know, it's totally practical, and I think it's worth the expense. I mean, something like this would have been worth it, but here we are. It's dead. It's dead. And we were out to lunch. And I say we, meaning the progressive movement. So good job. Good job on that. So when you wonder, you know, why we don't have single payer, don't just blame the president.
Yeah, but thank God there's another front page story on Salon today from Glenn Greenwald trumpeting how the ACLU is suing the Obama administration. We got that going for us, which is nice.
What, over the NDAA?
Yeah, I think so. I you know, honestly, I told you. I've been so busy that I haven't really had a chance to look at a lot of stuff. I read his headlines, and I can feel the smug sanctimony emanating from them, and I just move on. Like, ACLU suing Obama. Okay.
Well, you know, I wish
– happy, Glenn.
Glenn has occasionally – and I don't want to turn this into another Glenn Greenwald bashing show, but Glenn has occasionally
– so much fun.
And recently injected some, shall we say, half-truths into his pieces where, you know, he was he was talking about that Soros thing, that Soros quote where Soros said something to the effect of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are essentially the same. But he selectively edited the quote so it didn't contain.
No. So you're saying it's a bad thing. I thought you were actually giving him credit because he was injecting at least half truth into the usual bevy of crap that he puts out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can put it that way.
Of garbage.
So I don't want to talk about what I wrote for the Huffington Post either, because that's going to send us off.
It's really good though, honestly. Thanks. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I tend to sound sycophantic these days when it comes to reading your stuff, but honestly, I think you're saying stuff that needs to be said.
Well, I've been horking.
God
all
knows of, I'm too lazy to do it, so God bless you.
I've been horking all of your music lately.
That's quite all right.
Thank you for
exactly.
that.
Because that's all I got right now.
Such good taste in music. But, you know, these are reasons why we continue to lose. We shoot ourselves in the foot. We self-defeat. And we miss these things because we're too busy screeching and listening to the sounds of our own voices. Liberals love that. We love to hear. We love hearing ourselves whine.
We love hearing the sounds of our own voices, and we really get a kick out of believing that we're so smart that we can't just take anything at face value. We have to overanalyze every single thing. Yeah. And overanalyzing every single thing generally means that we come to the conclusion that something's wrong somewhere, and we can't be a joiner, and we can't get behind. We have such nonsense. Hence that.
I mean, and then the other point was that, you know, it's this ridiculous fantasy that we can somehow, and I will name names on this, Glenn Greenwald wants to, you know, basically blow up the system and reconstruct the system. And, you know, that's fantasy.
It is.
That's La La Land horse crap.
It's absolutely fantasy. It's complete and utter pie in the sky, you know, progressive utopian thinking.
Yeah. To wish for something like that is, I mean, it's nihilistic. You're begging disaster. You're begging disaster, death. God only knows what kind of government would come in to fill the vacuum. You just don't do it. So what do you have left? You change the system from within. And you know who's doing that? President's doing that. President's doing it, but he knows, and this is where I connect with the president. He knows that it's going to be a slow process. You don't just whip the wheel around and is suddenly doing about face. It doesn't work that way because then everyone gets whiplash. What you do is you do it slowly and you work your way through it. And that's what we fail to realize that. We're too busy primarying Blanche Lincoln and not worrying about, you know, fixing the school system by infiltrating from the school board level up. We'll talk about that a little more. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Look at that. It's time to talk about soap and Bubble Genius, the official sponsor of the show. It's the best damn soap in the world. You know, I've just been admiring my collect. They sent me an entire gross of my favorite hibiscus soap. And it was in a gigantic basket. I mean, 144 bars of soap. More soap than I've ever had in one place in my entire life. And I love the soap so much, I tend to stick my face right in the basket of soap and just inhale. Get a little contact high.
That's just creepy.
And if you want to order your Valentine's Day soap gift packs and things like that, your Valentine's Day soaps, better do it soon because Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And here now is Bubble Genius to tell us more.
Welcome to a Bubble Genius.
Hi, I'm trying to find a Valentine present for my boyfriend that's not too cutesy. Can you help?
I can show you sexy time.
Okay then. I'm just gonna... I thought this was Bath and Body, not...
Here is a sexy time.
Wow, edible massage oil and powder. Oh, its name is Sexy Time.
Sexy Time!
My boyfriend's gonna love this.
And Sexy Time for you, too.
Sexy Time for me, too.
BubbleGenius.com. Sexy Time.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And as always, enter your promo code Bob and Chez, BobandChez, and get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com.
I seriously worry about those girls sometime. Every once in a while.
Yeah. But I love it. I mean, you know, again, I cannot emphasize enough how cool they are. I mean, what are the odds? Yeah. We start this podcast, and the sponsor of the podcast is, you know, beyond any other. I mean, I've been doing this sort of thing for a long time, and never, never do you get a sponsor where they actually egg us on. They don't say, no, you can't do that. They're like Lieutenant Hauk from Good Morning Vietnam, like we play at the top of the show. They're not saying what we can't say. They actually want us to say more. I mean, they are enablers at Bubble Genius.
Oh, yes, they are.
And, you know, and they're political, they're progressive, they're independent, they're vegan. I mean, every possible thing you could possibly want in a sponsor. They, you know, and so that's why you've got to support
everything except a vegan.
That's right. Well, vegan's okay.
I just had an In-N-Out burger today. I'm still on a high from that.
Oh yeah, coming up on the after party, we're going to talk about hamburgers. That's another thing we're going to talk about. There's news out of McDonald land that I wanted to get to on the after party. But yeah, I mean, this is why you want to support Bubble Genius, because you know, not only are the products hands down some of the best you'll ever buy. In terms of their soap, their bath and body products, but they're just really damn cool. I mean, that's the bottom line with Bubble Genius. So please, please, if you're buying gifts for Valentine's Day, if you're buying a birthday presents, if you're just buying stuff for yourself, go over to Bubble Genius. You can get 15% off because you listen to this show, and buy stuff from them. I can't emphasize that enough. So speaking of advertising, I wanted to talk about this just for a second. There aren't going to be any dead fetus pictures during the Super Bowl. Super Bowl commercials will be free of disgusting, awful, awful dead fetus pictures.
I like how there was even any controversy over that to begin with.
Well, you know, this guy, Randall Terry, who's a domestic terrorist. I don't know why.
Criminal.
I don't know why he's still walking around, but he's absolutely a domestic terrorist. He deserves to be behind bars, not running for president on the Democratic ticket. And I don't know how the Democratic Party can actually even allow him to use their name. It sounds ridiculous to me. They should have filed some sort of injunction to say, no, you know what? We don't want this guy associated with the Democratic Party.
If Randall Terry were named Abdul, he would be the target of a drone strike right now.
That's right. That's absolutely right. This guy is responsible for acts of terrorism in the United States. And he ought to be behind bars, at least closely surveilled, if he isn't already. And I would assume
they're probably watching him. But, this guy's awful.
Well, he was going to run a commercial during the NBC broadcast of the Super Bowl. Oh, it was in Chicago. So I guess it was going to be kind of a local spot run by the Chicago NBC affiliate.
It was supposed to run in, I know I'll be wrong about this, but I want to say 18 markets.
Okay. Well, here's the headline out of Gawker. Super Bowl viewers may not be treated to images of dead fetuses during the game. Long shot write-in Democratic presidential candidate and generally disliked media whore Randall Terry's bizarre quest to win supporters for his extreme anti-abortion agenda by assailing millions of Super Bowl viewers with a campaign commercial full of images of dead fetuses is not surprisingly meeting with, just a bit of resistance from at least one TV station in Chicago. Oh, so there might be. There might be. I misread this thing. It might just not be in Chicago. That doesn't mean it's not going to be elsewhere.
Like I said, I know there are a series of markets where the ad is supposed to appear.
I apologize. I thought that this is not going to be. This is going to be all of the NBC affiliates are going to say no way.
Which is what they should do.
Which is absolutely what they should do.
Yeah.
Here the story continues. While FCC rules dictate that local stations are required to air whatever insanity a federal candidate is willing to put in a campaign ad form for 45 days leading up to a primary election, Chicago's NBC affiliate is trying to get around the requirement that it run Terry's commercial with the correct argument that the rules should not apply in this case since he's not an actual candidate. That's what he's – they're absolutely required. You have to run this stuff if you're within – 45 days of a primary.
It's crazy out there.
Yeah. I mean, we really have to be careful about resorting to those types of techniques ourselves, by the way. You know, showing dead civilians after drone strikes and dead Syrians. And
we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah,
absolutely.
But, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't, that kind of crap doesn't win anybody over. It doesn't. It repulses them.
You know, not to compare it to something silly and frivolous, but it's like Fear Factor. It's like Fear Factor.
Drinking donkey semen.
Yeah, see, but that's not something that's scary. That's just something that's disgusting. Likewise, showing these photographs isn't convincing. It's just disgusting, and it's in poor taste. It doesn't convince anybody. It just grosses us out.
There is an irony to the fact that NBC cut that scene from Fear Factor, and yet they're going to run the Terry ad. Or at least the affiliates are. So maybe that's unfair of me.
One last quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Right. This is this might be one of my top five favorite songs of all time right here.
Good song. Good album. Great album.
Brilliant song. Yeah, I flirt with that occasionally. Specifically, like trying to compose my list of my favorite songs. Like if I could have like five songs and I could only listen to those like desert island songs, what would they be? And it's really hard to do. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy list to make.
My albums were always Jeff Buckley's Grace, OK Computer from Radiohead, and Love Supreme, John Coltrane. Those were my three Desert Island records.
Records are much easier because there's a variety of songs.
Right.
I mean, for me, I would say, I mean, right off the top of the list, Soft Bulletin by the Flaming Lips. That'd be up there. Octung Baby, U2.
Good album.
Let's see. What would it be? Transatlanticism, Death Cab for Cutie.
Also a really good album, yeah.
And let's see, Phantom Power by The Tragically Hip.
Yeah, you're a big Tragically Hip fan.
Yeah, and you know what? I love Rush. I couldn't just find one Rush album that I would consider to be the best, because there are several.
Well, you could just kidnap Geddy Lee and bring him with you to the island.
That's right. I mean, there's Moving Pictures.
And if things got really tense, you could kill him and eat him. It wouldn't be much of a meal, but you could try.
I love their latest album. I love Snakes and Arrows. I mean, in fact, I would almost say that that's my favorite Rush album.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's so dynamic. It's the production value is amazing. The songwriting. I mean, the lead track, Far Cry, is one of the best rock songs of all time. I mean, it's really a fantastic song. And, you know, sometimes we go, well, this band has been around for 30 years. You know, they've got such a back catalog of songs. The latest, you know, the latest album's got to suck. But if you listen to it, if you listen to Snakes and Arrows by Rush, it has got some of their best songwriting ever. And and just the songwriting composition on the lead track alone is hands down some of the best stuff they've done.
Yeah, I remember when New Order's Get Ready came out in, 2001? Yeah, 2001. You know, the band had been around for, if you include Joy Division, for what, 25 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, you know, 23 years, somewhere around there. And that was, I thought, honestly, song for song, was their best record.
Yeah.
You know, and it came that late in their career. It's a great album. Get Ready is incredible. I mean, New Order's always been a terrific band, but that's just a really fantastic album.
So easy to write off new stuff by bands that have been around a while.
True. And everybody, whenever you go see them live, everybody wants to see the, you know, the old stuff.
So the Komen website was hacked.
Oh, I did not hear that. I know about everything else.
Komen is now the, and deservedly so, the most hated charity in America. I mean.
And it is sad considering how much good they have done or did years ago before they became a cottage industry and one that that seemed to put more emphasis on the proprietary considerations of their brand than actually helping anybody.
Yeah. I mean, this situation right now with Komen is going to put women's lives at risk. I mean, there's a lot of times when we can say that with a little bit of healthy exaggeration, a little bit of hyperbole. Right. But in this case, I mean, this Republican war against women, this demonization of Planned Parenthood has seriously put lives at risk. I forgot to mention what the hacking was. The banner on the main page of their site originally said it was like this purple photograph with a logo across the middle of it and said, "Help us get 26.2 or 13.1 miles closer to a world without breast cancer." It's some marathon event.
Of course, it's walk and run and all that other fun stuff that they do.
And the hacked banner said, "Help us run over poor women on our way to the bank."
Wow. Oh, that's excellent.
So just completely shifting gears. I want to stop talking about abortion for now and get to something that's a lot more fun. And that is the vice president.
Wow, Joe Biden. That was the worst transition ever. And now the weather.
And now something funny. Joe Biden said something stupid, everybody. Sometimes you just got to do it. You got to cleanse the palate. And and the vice president now is going to cleanse our abortion talking palate.
He is the amuse-bouche.
Right. You know, I've had sort of an ongoing love-hate relationship with Joe Biden. I hate the fact that he supported that awful, 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 times a thousand awful bankruptcy bill in 2005. George W. Bush and the Republicans shoved through this bill that made it impossible for ordinary Americans to file Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Made them all take a means test. You take a means test to determine whether you can pay back some of your debt, and then you're forced into Chapter 13, which isn't a clean slate. Thank you, Joe Biden, Mr. Delaware, with all of the credit card companies hunkered down in Wilmington.
Absolutely.
And so Joe Biden supported this awful, awful, awful bill. And so I really have a hard time with that. I really have a hard time. I also have a hard time with, some of the things he's done previous to that. But I don't want to go into that because we're supposed to be talking about something fun here, right?
Right.
So
racism. Racism is fun.
Racism is fun. And this is not, I don't think it's racism necessarily. I think it's just funny. I think it's just
Biden having his head up his rear end as usual.
This is Joe Biden talking about outsourcing jobs. I don't know where this was or what the context was, but here's the vice president talking about outsourcing.
Even call centers, which rushed overseas in the hundreds of thousands. How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card. Okay, or that ad on TV. What is it, Nancy?
I'd love that.
And the sad part is he caught himself immediately. And he's like, what kind of completely indiscriminate, accent can I somehow morph this into really quickly? Because I was just about to sound like I was,
Apu
over there. Right, Apu with the quickie mark.
Yeah, see, he starts to go down that road where he starts to do the Apu.
And you can hear the split nanosecond where he says, oh, by the way, I'm the vice president of the United States. I can't do this.
He totally, yeah, and that's
holy crap! Here comes my foot into my mouth.
That's right, and that's what's so brilliant about it because you can hear the cogs grinding to a halt. He's about to do like, would you like a grape squishy voice, right?
Yep.
And he stops his mid word, and then does his own voice, and then tries to cover it up to make it sound like he was trying to do that commercial with. The credit card company.
Yeah, you know, the one with the guy who's the game show host in Slumdog Millionaire. That one.
I'm going to play this again.
Even call centers, which rushed overseas in the hundreds of thousands. How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your credit card. Okay,
There it is. That moment. I'd like to talk to you about your my God. Credit card.
Right.
What am I saying?
Yes, it was so close to being just, just a complete foot all the way down into his intestines moment. Oh, my God.
That was the moment, that little moment between your and credit card is when he saw the mushroom cloud from the nuclear warheads being launched by India toward us in his head.
That's right. That's what he was envisioning. It's just like this nuclear holocaust between India and the United States. Because he's doing he's doing one of the most popular foreign accents to do, but not the most racially sensitive.
Not at all.
But it's so great. I want to indulge me. I'm going to play it one last time. I think this is the most brilliant clip of the vice president during his term so far.
How many times you get the call? I'd like to talk to you about your... credit card. Okay, you know, or that ad on TV.
Oh, that's great. See, Joe Biden, right? And that's it's times like that that makes it difficult for me to dislike him.
Right.
And I'm not criticizing Joe Biden for that. I think it's hilarious that he was about to do that voice and caught himself. He's adorable, Joe Biden. Mm. Vice President's adorable in his own way, in his own dumb guy way, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about this. I mean, it actually got me to thinking about a kind of a serious thing.
Is Bobby Jindal on Fox News right now, by the way, complaining? That's the only person. I'm trying to think. As we're talking about this, I'm like, what can Fox News – how they don't like immigrants. So they don't like foreigners. So how can they figure out a way to spin this to be, you know, to be a big platform for them for the next six or seven news cycles? Oh, that's right. They'll bring in Bobby Jindal.
And you know, what's funny is I think it was completely under the radar. I don't think anyone was talking about it. I think it just popped up and – I think
by this time you're just used to Biden saying stupid crap.
So, I mean, I got to thinking, this guy's never going to be president of the United States. Joe Biden will never be elected president of the United States. And so, therefore, I don't think he's even going to run. You get to the end of, fingers crossed, a two-term President Obama administration. Who's going to take over? Who's going to be the heir, like the heir apparent to the Obama administration? Who's going to? Yeah, it's not going to be Joe Biden. And so, I kind of put together a list of possibilities of people who are, you know, who can almost take over that mantle. Not necessarily people, you know, just ordinary Democrats who are just going to run and we don't know. I'm talking about people who can be like a rock star. Insofar as this current president is a rock star, who's gonna carry on that sort of charisma? And I think at the top of my list, Hillary Clinton. She might still. She said several times that she didn't want to do it, but I don't buy that for a second. I think she badly wants to be president. She like slivers of the Resolute Desk course through her veins.
She is a superstar of the party. There's no doubt about it. And her her stock has only improved since being Secretary of State.
So who else? So I mean, I think Andrew Cuomo has a shot. I think Brian Schweitzer, the governor of Montana, has a shot. I think he was the keynote speaker in 2008. But here are some real wild cards who I think could actually be that rock star. Cory Booker. I think Cory Booker needs to be governor of New Jersey first. Before he's,
I think you're right.
Before
Booker's got a lot of clout.
If he can beat, if Cory Booker can top Chris Christie running for governor, I think Cory Booker is going to be president of the United States one of these days. And that was one of my things. I always mention this that I once tweeted that to Cory Booker, and he tweeted me back, which I thought was cool. But he tweets everybody back, so you know, whatever. Deval Patrick from Massachusetts. He's governor of Massachusetts. I think he's got a real shot. Problem with Deval Patrick. Barack Obama's stolen all of his lines already. They're good friends, and they trade ideas, so it's okay. But a lot of the big sort of rhetorical things, the rhetorical flourishes and slogans that the president uses, were collaborated on between the president and Deval Patrick.
So they are the political Iggy Pop and David Bowie.
That's right. Al Gore. I still think there's a shot for Al Gore. I don't know how much he wants it, though. I think he's content doing what he's doing. And here, I think this person would be the next Barack Obama. And that is Elizabeth Warren. If Elizabeth Warren is elected to the Senate in the fall, she will run for president, and she has a solid chance of winning. I mean, I don't know anything about her past. I don't know if there are any skeletons or scandals. I doubt there are, but Elizabeth Warren could be tremendous.
Could be.
As a presidential candidate. I mean, you talk about someone who, if nominated, would, you know, have that filling Invesco Field kind of stadium quality. Getting every Democrat with legs to run around knocking on doors for her.
she would definitely, there would be a lot of grassroots support. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mean,
she doesn't, she, I love her policy. She doesn't thrill me as a sort of charismatic, aside from the fact that she says things that need to be said, which I think is fantastic. You know, Obama is, not only is he you know, a smart guy and obviously a politically savvy guy, but I mean, he's got stagecraft. You know, he knows how to win over an audience. I don't necessarily get that from Elizabeth Warren, but that doesn't mean she doesn't have it. It just means that I'm not seeing it.
Well, if you have any suggestions, add them to the comments below the show here on the blog, and you know, we'll talk about it as we go forward. But I think that's what I'm always wondering: who's the next Barack Obama? And I think any number of these people can, and there might be someone who'll pop out of nowhere, someone completely unpredictable.
Bring back Bill. Speaking of popping out of nowhere.
Yeah. Watch very carefully.
Yes, that was a sexual joke.
Yes. Watch very carefully. Who delivers the keynote address this summer at the Democratic National Convention? Democrats like to put the a potential next candidate in the keynote spot. Barack Obama did it. Bill Clinton did it in 1988. Bill Clinton delivering the longest, here's a sexual joke for you, keynote address ever in 1988. It seemed to go on for hours. But he ended up running for president in 4 years later. And so, yeah, just keep an eye on that, because that'll give you a good indication of who they think, who the Democrats think should be goaded into running 2016. And look, I know I'm just tempting fate by talking about two terms for the president. We're nowhere near November yet, and a million things could happen. A million things could go wrong between now and then. So we don't even know if this guy is going to get reelected. But, I mean, there's still going to be someone who's going to run. A Democrat is going to run in 2016. It could be any number of these people. But the entire dynamic of who it is could change based on who ends up president for the next 4 years. We didn't get to the Kids Are Stupid audio clip. Maybe we'll include that on the after party. But we do have lots of disgusting and horrific things to talk about on the after party. And by disgusting and horrific, I mean relationship kind of things. essentially centered around Facebook.
Sad white guy stuff.
Make sure to send your mail. If you want to write to us, we have an email address. Isn't that quaint? It's bobandchez@bobzeska.com. Write us notes and maybe we'll read them on the show.
Send me something moist.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. We'll see you on the after party coming up next.
I'd like to talk to you about your credit card.